in. Sit down. I know you want the next part. Oh, stars, these have been getting harder and harder for me to play. I think this one is the hardest of all. You'll get narration here, so you'll be able to follow it easily. Hold on to everything. Here we go. We present Bert's Place.
Hi everyone, it's Tilly here. Last time we left you on a bit of a cliff edge and you've been very patient waiting for us to go on with the story. Well, truth to tell, life's been rather uneventful and there really hasn't been that much to tell. But that all changed when... But that's getting ahead of ourselves. To pick up the tale, we're going to have to go right back to last January. That's where my juggling with the space-time continuum took us back to. I created a time bubble and transported everyone back 6 weeks or so, which meant that the whole nasty episode of the Cyteria hadn't happened, or rather, hadn't happened yet. It was my job then to stop it happening again. I'd been so busy thinking about how I was going to get the do-over spell right that I hadn't even stopped to think about how I was going to do that. Suddenly, there I was, face to face with Bert, who was holding that tiny little gun with its lethal load, and I suddenly found myself having to really think on my feet.
I was just wondering why you're carrying this tiny little gun.
Ah, yes.
Yes? You had something you wanted to tell me?
Actually, I did, darling, but your little contretemps with Elle got us sidetracked. Please, hand that to me, very, very carefully.
What's that? A hypodermic capsule? Why have you brought an elfin hypodermic capsule into the human world, Teely?
Just a moment. There. I've put a crystalline on it. Now it can't possibly be broken into. What's wrong? Your wife's sheet.
I don't know. Nothing. I'm waiting for an explanation.
Well, don't stand there glowering at me, darling. I haven't done anything wrong. Sit down, and I'll tell you all about it.
Oh, all right.
Now, on Tuesday night, I came home from a late shift, and when I got into my new place, there was Garvey. He's sitting on my sofa as bold as brass, with an ice bucket of chilled champagne and 2 glasses of all the nerve.
And he fed you a goblin and kelpie story like that and expected that you'd swallow it whole? What is he, numbspelled?
Very far from it. Never underestimate him, Bert. He has a sharp, incisive brain. But he has 2 major weaknesses.
Which are?
He has a massive ego, and he thinks nobody could possibly be cleverer than he is. Of course, I saw in a minute that he was trying to use me. If that capsule was harmless, any human would have done, and any elf could have injected it. No, he wanted one of our humans in particular, so that he could study how it messed up the balance of things here. But I still don't know why, or what it would have done.
Oh, Teely, Ziahana, how awful. Does that mean the Bureau of Human Studies in general is gunning for our humans? Or is it someone higher up?
No, I don't think so. I think this was a bit of private enterprise on Garvey's part. If it had worked, he would have gained a lot of personal kudos from it.
Well, thank the stars it didn't. So what's going to happen now? What did you do after Garvey had left?
I went to bed and slept. I was tired out.
Oh, that's not what I...
I know, sorry. A bad time for a joke. The next day I went straight to Bilby, who took the matter straight upstairs to the Whites.
Well, that settles it. If Elfhold is threatening my humans and trying to make you do bad things, then you're out of there and we're out of here. Oh, it's all such a mess. They'll probably be glad to see the back of us anyway. Don't bother to do any more unpacking, honey. As soon as we've seen Brian and Elle, I want us back in London as soon as we can get moved. Well, why are you looking at me like that?
Because we can't. I've had orders from White 12 himself, Bert. My word alone is not enough for them to squash Garvey. He has allies in high places and powerful friends. The Whites are worried about what he'll try next. They want Garvey kept exactly where he is so that they can watch him, which means the status has to remain exactly quo for the foreseeable future. I have to stay in my job, you have to stay in yours. Yes, I know what that means, but we'll both have to knuckle down. down and get used to it. We have no choice.
Oh, stars. What in the name of the moon can we do? It's all very well you saying we've got to stay. You haven't been here all week. I don't think they want us to stay now.
Oh, we'll make this work, Sirhan. Look, why don't you finish the unpacking and then feed Bites and have a play with him, hmm? Let me see if I can sort this out. Well, so far, so good. I must say, I breathed a lot freer once that wretched capsule was safely crystallized in my drawer. I didn't think I'd have a problem with Bart. He really is a sweetheart and has nearly always been putty in my hands. Except when we get to this question of the humans, and then I never know where I have him. Oh well, next problem. I had to get the humans seeing things my way. As I peeked around the door of the den, I still had no idea how I was going to do this. But then I struck lucky. Elle was in there alone, doing the washing up for a wonder. Now, if I could just have her to myself for a few minutes, I knew I'd be in treasure spells. Elle?
Hmm?
Could I have a word?
Yeah, what do you want?
Well, you might stop rattling around and listen to me. This is important.
About Bert, is it? Come to tell me how miserable he is? How much you want him to stay here? Well, don't bother. I know all that. You must think I'm really stupid. You've been really clever, Tilly, and don't think I haven't rumbled your plan. Your saintly patience with us, encouraging Bert not to talk to us about what's worrying him, your dropped tear, all the things you did to make poor Bert feel guilty about doing his job. It's all worked. Now he wants out, and it's the best thing for all of us. So, you made your bed, madam. You're going to have to lie in it. I hope you like laurel pie.
You don't like me much, do you, Elle?
I really have tried, for Bert's sake. But now you mention it, no. I've always felt in my bones that you were dangerous. And anyway, you're a fine one to talk. You hate my guts, and you always have.
Are you surprised? You treat Bart like a lapdog. I'd have to be a saint not to mind that.
Oh, God, not this again.
No, there's no point. And anyway, we don't have time. You're right about me, for what it's worth. And I'm right about you. I have a list of faults 10 feet long. But there is some good in me somewhere, and Bart seems to see it and help bring it out. You've always treated Bart like some kind of grown-up child. He loves you, and he needs you to be there for him, but that can never be enough.
Tilly!
Oh, it's no good looking at me like that. We have to bring this into the open and fast. We don't have to like each other, but we do have to learn how to make the best of things for Bart's sake.
What's the point? You've completely alienated him. Bert doesn't want to be here anymore.
Oh, really? You don't know half as much about him as you think you do. I've told you before, Bart hates the Lep world. Absolutely hates it. He doesn't want to go back to that. He wants peace between us. To be able to do his job under reasonable conditions and to stay here where he's been happy.
You think?
Please, Elle. I know Brian isn't pleased with him, and I know that's partly my fault. If you help to make things right so that we can stay here, I promise faithfully I'll do everything I can to make this work.
Are you sure? I mean, assuming I can do this, if there's any more trouble, there'll be no going back this time.
I'm sure.
All right, I'll have a go. But I can't promise anything. Well, don't say anything when you go back next door in case I don't get anywhere.
I won't. Thanks, truly.
All right. Let's see what happens. And one more thing. Stop your sniping at me when you think I can't hear. The only thing you're doing is infuriating Brian and upsetting Bert.
I remember. We called a truce once before. This time, I'll try harder, and I'll really stick to it.
I was shaking when Tilly left. There are some things you think will never be brought up for discussion, and I had to admit that Teely bringing everything out into the open had been brave, though I thought she'd probably done it for her own reasons, and not, as she nobly stated, merely in Bert's best interests. Whatever the true reasoning behind it, if she was prepared to make the situation work, I was certainly game for giving things another shot. When Brian came back in, I told him what had happened, and we thrashed out a plan for going forward. He was deeply sceptical about it, but the bottom line was that we both wanted Bert to go on working for us, and there was nothing to lose by trying.
So have you got that straight, Bert? Elle and I are agreeing not to use the intercom between 6 in the evening and 9 in the morning, unless it's an emergency.
Yes, I understand. Thank you.
Of course. There will be some mornings when we need you to start earlier. That's when I have to leave home on business before your working day officially starts. But if that happens, you'll have advance notice of this.
That's fine. You know I'm always glad to help Elle when you're away.
You must understand, this is a matter we've worked out between the three of us. It doesn't affect your contract in any way at all. Is that clear?
Yes, perfectly. I really do understand.
I'll just say one more thing, Bert, and then we'll call this matter closed. This whole situation was made a lot more unpleasant by you keeping the whole thing to yourself till it came to a head and exploded. Bert, I'd have thought you'd have known us long enough by now to know that if you have problems, you need to tell us about them, or we can't help you.
I'm sorry, Brian, I really am.
That's all right. Only we really can't have all this trouble in the house. We're about to get extremely busy one way and another, and we all four of us need to settle down and learn how to live peacefully together.
Thank you so much for being so kind to us. But, darling, if the meeting's over, I'm going to pop next door. My program's about to start.
Okay. See you later, honey.
Okay, time for music and wine, I think. I can do with a large glass. Bert, are you staying?
No, thanks all the same. Another time. Good night, Elle. Brian?
Ouch!
What? I thought you got what you wanted. Bert's staying here. Everything's sorted.
Yes, but... When he pointedly went out just now, he was telling me very clearly, we're in here, there and there.
Oh.
And never the twain shall meet.
So, mission accomplished. All problems solved for the time being. For the rest of that weekend, the humans stayed well out of our way. Bart was especially loving and gentle, and you'd better believe I did everything I could to be the perfect little wife. A few things intruded into the domestic bliss, though. I couldn't help knowing that, like it or not, I was going to have to share Bart for a long time, maybe for always. And before you condemn me as the villain of the piece, just think how that feels. It's not exactly nice. Secondly, my mind was busy with plans for what was going to happen when I got back to Elfhold. When I performed the do-over spell, the whole of space-time went back 6 weeks, and everyone would have forgotten anything that went before, with the exception of 3 elves, who'd made a temporal shield for themselves so that they would retain very necessary memories in case of later repercussions. White 12 was one, of course. Bilby was another. If anything started to go wrong, I would need his help and advice. It was the 3rd one who I thought most about. If I knew anything, that particular elf would be feeling very anxious indeed right now. In fact, it would be no exaggeration to say that I held his career in the palm of my hand. Now that ought to be a situation I could have some fun with. When I got back to work on the following Tuesday, I waited for him to make contact. Sure enough, I didn't have to wait too long. Very nice indeed. Ooh, pink acromion candy lambskin lined with silky snowbear fur. Ooh, that'll keep the chill out. How much? Ooh, that's rather a lot. Ooh, now, I wonder if Bert would...
Do you have it?
Oh, look, they have the boots to match. Ooh, that's so tempting.
I said, do you have it?
Why, Mr. Garfield? fancy seeing you here. I didn't know you shopped at Shandy's. Do I have what?
Quit playing games, 23716. You know perfectly well.
Do I? Oh, you mean the capsule of Cytaria that nearly killed my husband?
Shh, for iron's sake, keep your voice down and just tell me where it is.
It's quite safe. Thank you so much for asking.
Listen, do you want me to get ugly?
Well, you wouldn't have to try very hard.
What? You...
Careful, my dear. I'd hate for you to say anything you might regret later.
What the?
In fact, you know, I think it might pay you to be nice to me.
Nice to you? And why would I ever want to be nice to you?
Well, let's see. Up-and-coming young executive embarks on a piece of private enterprise...
How do you know anything about...
Embarks on a piece of private enterprise that goes disastrously wrong... And needs a junior clerk to pull him and the rest of Elfold out of the mess he made. Doesn't sound too good, does it? I mean, your friends among the powers that be, they wouldn't think much of you if they found out, would they? And I think your little invitations to Dindins and golf with White 12 would suddenly stop arriving.
Who told you I play golf with White 12?
Whereas, you know, if you were nice to a girl, we could just forget all about it.
Are you blackmailing me, 23716?
Ooh, what a rude word to use to a lady.
Well, and what would this being nice entail exactly?
Well, for start, we might just saunter inside Shandy's, and then you could buy me that coat and boots there in the window.
Coat and boots? 3,000 credits? Have you gone out of your tiny mind?
And then, after that, we could go on somewhere nice for dinner. Somewhere like Kalinsky said.
Kalinsky's? Do you know how much that place costs? You have to take out a long-term loan just to order a starter.
While we were eating, I could give you some very interesting information I heard at the office today.
Information? What kind of information?
Oh, something I heard Bilby saying to one of the whites on the phone when I took a report into his office this afternoon. I'm sure you'd find it enervating.
Oh, come on. I hope they have that mercury code in your size. I hate hanging around in shops. And I hope this information's going to be worth the indigestion I'm going to have for the next 3 days.
Oh, it will be. I believe in giving good value for money.
Few months, life settled into a pattern. As Brian had predicted, things began to get extremely busy, with Brian staying at home a lot more than going away, which meant I had a lot more work to do. Teely was working hard at Elthord. Her job seemed to be getting harder and more responsible. As time went by, she would have to do overtime, which meant she stayed more days, sometimes only making it home for a 2-day weekend. I found this very hard to cope with, but she seemed happy, so I kept quiet. There was no more trouble between me, Brian, and Elle. They stuck faithfully to the plan they had promised back in January, and if I ever had to help out in an emergency, I did so without complaining. Everything should have been perfect, but it wasn't. The warm, close relationship I had enjoyed for so long with Brian and Elle seemed to be completely gone. When I worked with them, there was no more chatting, no more little jokes. Conversation was strictly about work and nothing else. Even when Elle was ill and needed me to help her, it seemed as though there was a glass wall between us that I just couldn't breach, however hard I tried. As spring turned to summer, tempers became frayed by the humid weather. Teely was immersed in work, and even when she was at home, her thoughts seemed to be elsewhere. During those torrid hot days, I thought, but for the uncomplicated loving friendship of Bites, I'd never been more lonely in my life. And then the nightmares started.
Even after you tried to put a spell on him, after he'd taken that dose, so you wouldn't be sent into the dark, he tells you what you meant to me, Teely.
I love you.
But you lie down, darling, and let him come. him.
Oh, sorry.
You're so restless. You've got a stomachache.
No, it's these slint nightmares. They've been getting worse for days.
Nightmares?
Yes. It's getting so that I'm scared to go to sleep.
What do you dream?
Oh, it's all muddled. It just doesn't make sense. Something about suffocating weight all around and on top of me. And not being able to get out. Oh, I'm probably developing claustrophobia in my old age.
Well, I'll put a sleep spell on you tomorrow. And a dreamless charm, too. That'll take the nasty dreams away.
Well, that'll be a relief. I'll enjoy that while you're at home. Teely, how long is this overtime at work going to last?
Oh, I don't know. Why?
It's just, I hardly seem to see you anymore.
But really?
Well, it feels like that. Everything seems to be about work. I mean, even when you are at home, you're tired and preoccupied. I know we're lucky that you can work in Elfhold and live out. But I do miss you.
Oh, honestly, but 3:30 in the morning is not the kind of time to start talking this kind of rubbish. And anyway, what do you expect me to do? You have work. I have work. That's just the way life is. And we have to get on with it. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going back to sleep.
Okay, honey. Sorry I woke you. Sweet dreams.
Good things never last, do they? During the spring and the early summer, my life had been what Bart sometimes calls perfectly peachy. In Elfhold, my job was its usual undemanding self. I could do it with one eye shut. I noticed Bilby was keeping his distance from me. Seemed to have a bee in his bonnet about something, but I wasn't worrying too much about that. When work was over, I had Garvey to take me out to restaurants, nightclubs, professional impact and other games. In fact, everywhere the light-coloured elves congregated. Soon, my, well, undeniable good looks and sparkling wit were attracting attention. And together with Garvey's dark handsomeness and upwardly thrusting reputation, we suddenly became the couple it was de rigueur to have at the very best balls, concerts, game meetings and soirees. Of course, that did mean I wasn't able to get home as much, but yet, I wasn't complaining. When I did have to go home, I had Bart trotting around after me like a well-trained poodle and the humans keeping well out of our way. And then it all started to unravel. I'd been inclined to dismiss Bart's nightmares when I first heard about them, but the following weekend, I came home to find him hollow-eyed and drawn from lack of sleep. The nightmares had got worse, and from the little sense I was able to make of what he told me, they were definitely to do with his time in the Medipit. Of course, I did my best for him. I was able to give him 3 nights of deep, untroubled sleep. I even cancelled an important engagement with Garvey, so that I was able to stay at home until Tuesday morning. As soon as I got back to Elfhold, I made a beeline for Bilby's office. I desperately needed to see him and talk things over. To my complete annoyance, it seemed that Bilby 11312 had decided that he did not need to see me. Listen, you stupid bot. You don't understand. I want to see Bilby 11312, and I want to see him now. Is that clear?
It is regretted. Mr. Bilby is unavailable at this time.
Where is he, for God's sake? It's urgent.
It is regretted. That information is unavailable at this time.
Well, can I come back later this morning?
It is regretted. Mr. Bilby will be unavailable at that time.
This afternoon, then?
It is regretted. Mr. Bilby will be unavailable at that time.
Now, listen, Bot. Listen very carefully. Can you tell me at what time Mr. Bilby will be available?
It is regretted. That information is unavailable at this time.
Is there any information available about what would happen if I put my 6-inch stiletto through your stupid, mean, ugly little
dress? L2-23716. I'd step back from my secretary if I were you.
She'd cost you 5 years' wages to replace.
Call her off, then, and tell her to let me in. I need to talk to you.
Another time. Lost to you today.
Start to remember, let it.
Oh, you'd better come in. Sit down. Oh, that's right. Make yourself at home, why don't you? Put your feet up on the desk while you're at it. Getting your feet under tables seems to be a speciality of yours these days. What?
Meaning?
You know bronze well. Cut the babble. I don't have the time or the inclination. You said he'd started to remember. I suppose you mean the lep. You know, your husband.
Yes, my husband, who I'm having to share on Elfeld's orders. Not exactly nice for a girl. Well, as you often pointed out, I'm not a saint. And if Bart's having his cake and eating it too, I don't see why I shouldn't have a little fun on my own account.
On Garvey's account, more like.
Well, he can afford it. And being with me, he's doing him good, too. He's being seen at all the best places now.
And your husband is happy with your little arrangement, is he? Everything just tickety-boo there, is it? No, thought not. I've seen you do a lot of stupid things, 23716, but this is too much.
Don't judge me till you've stood in my shoes, Mr. Bilby. And don't think the worst of me either. I'm not as bad as you think, you know.
This conversation is becoming a bore. I'm really not interested in your squalid private life, 23716. I let you in because you said your husband is having flashbacks. Is that true?
He's having nightmares. They appear to be getting worse.
Flashbacks will come next. I'll advise White 12. How about the humans?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? The whole idea of you living in the human world was that you spent time with them and kept an eye on things up there.
Well, I try the best I can, sir. But if said humans are pointedly keeping out of your way, there's not an awful lot you can do.
No, you must have messed things up somehow. Managed them badly. Not got your mind on your job, I shouldn't wonder. You'll have to try and mend things there. We need to know if the flashbacks are affecting the humans.
And what can I do in the meantime?
Do? There's nothing to do. I told you before, memory is something that magic can't control. We took a big risk in performing the do-over. We hoped the memories would stay quiet. And now they've started to stir. It's rather like somebody's lit the fuse on a rather large and dangerous bomb.
Oh, no!
Oh, yes. All we can do is stand back and wait for the explosion.
Because of my old radio show, we'd always been in the habit of calling our home the Bear's Lair. As summer declined into autumn, it became more and more worthy of being called the Bear Pit. Brian and I found it hard to settle to anything. Bert was distracted, short-tempered and twitchy. When we asked him what was wrong, he muttered something about bad dreams and not being able to sleep. This was a problem with which we had sympathy, as Brian and I were also having trouble with nightmares. The more we discussed it, the more we found this phenomenon really disturbing because our dreams seemed to be overlapping, as if they harked back to a time we'd both shared, a time when Bert had been really close to dying. Of course, there'd been the awful car accident, but that had been years ago and these dreams didn't refer to that. They were all about fear, uncertainty, not knowing what was happening or what to do for the best. In my worst nightmares, I paced the floor of the hall at Claire Glorious. I was listening for a sound. I didn't know what it could be. I only knew that the playing of the fountain might stop me from hearing it. I was terrified I'd miss it, and I couldn't miss it because I didn't know why. But it had something to do with Bert. As the days grew shorter, we all became more and more on edge. The atmosphere became thicker and thicker with tension until I longed for something, anything to give. I so longed to break through that impenetrable wall that had grown up between Bert and I so that I could help him, even if it was only by listening. I would smash that wall into smithereens and fragments, I thought.
If I could only find one tiny crack in it. I finally had my chance one mid-September night when Brian was away from home. I'd been woken by the same old nightmare, and I'd gone into the den to try and get my heartbeat back to normal. I hadn't been sitting there long when the peace was violently broken.
No! No! Not that again! Can't deal with this anymore!
Another bad dream, Bert?
Elle! Oh, stars, you made me jump. I'm sorry if I disturbed you, but I had to get a drink. We've run out of mineral water again.
You know I'm not worried about that. You didn't answer my question. Did you have another bad dream?
Yes. Elle, it's awful. I'm scared to go to sleep. And even when I'm awake, I'm starting to see things like I do in the dreams. Terrible weight pressing me down, plugging my ears, eyes and nose. Horrendous pain, suffocating fear. I know I'm going to lose everything and everyone. You and Brian, Mum and Dad, Cassie, Little Bites. Why am I seeing these things? I don't understand.
You're not the only one. It's happening to us too, sweetie.
You haven't called me that since...
I didn't think you wanted me to anymore.
Did.
Come on. Let's go and sit down in the sofa corner and put our heads together about these horrible dreams.
You big bully. Go and pick up someone your own size.
I'll put you down if you want me to.
No.
Thought not. Seriously, sweetheart, you know, I never pick you up. I wouldn't invade your personal space like that, but it's been so awful. Something had to give.
I know. It's my fault.
This isn't about whose fault anything is, Bert. We just need to get it straight. You can't go on pushing me away and then pulling me back when you need me. It's not fair. And after everything Brian's done for you, he deserves better treatment. He misses you. We both do. It's all such a mess.
Like my life in general.
Ooh. And what does that dark and doom-ridden statement mean? Sounds a bit overdramatic. Leaving the dreams aside for a minute, I thought you had the perfect setup.
It should be, but it isn't. Oh, I don't know, Elle. I just feel like everything's slipping more and more out of my control. Teely...
What goes on between you and Teely isn't my business. You know that.
I know it's what you've always said, but someone's got to listen. Please, Elle. I can't tell the family. You and Brian are all I have.
I did think... I did think if I could get this wall down, I'd smash it for keeps. So, I suppose, yeah, anything you want to tell me, I'll listen to.
Well then, Teely's changed. It's like she's several different Teely's. When she rings up or comes home, I never know how she's going to be. One day she'll be the Teely I always knew. Sweet, gentle, funny, just a joy to have around. And she wants to be with me, to talk to me, watch TV, anything as long as it's near me. Then the next she's moody and short-tempered, flies off the handle for no reason, spends money online like it's water, finds fault with everything and everyone and can't bear me to be within a mile of her.
Oh, sweetie. Have you tried talking to her?
Have I tried? I get either an assurance that I'm imagining things or an order to shut up and stop talking rubbish.
Ouch.
And there's something else. I don't know exactly how I've guessed this, but I'm sure she knows what's happening to us and why.
Oh, come on. She couldn't know what's going on and not try to help or
At least give us a hint.
Oh, she helps me when she can. Sleep spells and so on. She's very concerned, but have you noticed that she's the only one who isn't having nightmares?
She's not?
No, she's not. And I think that must mean something, but I don't know what. Oh, Elle, could she be doing this to us?
No, of course not. She couldn't. I mean, she isn't capable of...
Isn't she? If there's one thing we should know by now is that Teely's capable of anything. Or at least that's what I think. That's why I'm so scared.
I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what to believe or who I can trust anymore.
Oh, sweetheart. Oh. There, my baby. Shh, my baby. Shh. You got us. Remember what you said? You got us. That won't change. And, but listen. Listen. You and I, we've made a friendship, haven't we? We've made a friendship that nothing and no one can ever break apart. You can always, always trust that. You can trust me.
Elle and I sat up for most of the rest of that night just talking like we always had when we were in sync with each other. I felt better afterwards in lots of ways, and though the nightmares didn't go away, in fact, they seemed to get worse as time went on, I found myself able to cope with them better, knowing there was someone I could tell. I began to mend my fences with Brian too, and life at work improved dramatically. Surprisingly, home life also improved. Teely didn't seem so waspish, came home for more of her weekend, and I didn't get that feeling that more than half of her was in Elthord, like I had back in the summer. Would I have seen it if I hadn't already been suspicious? I don't know. The fact was, I did see it when Teely began, oh so casually, to drop questions into her conversation. How were the nightmares? Was I still seeing things when I was awake? Did this happen to the humans too? As October came in, my suspicions hardened, and I began to deflect her questions. Gradually, the atmosphere between us became as tight as a stretched elastic band, as I was guarding every word I said, and she must have known why. Getting no joy from me, Teely started trying to talk to Brian and Elle about the nightmares and flashbacks we were now all experiencing. But no one wanted to discuss it. Teely tried everything to get us to open up. The more we stonewalled, the more infuriatingly sweet she became. The old sharp-tongued Teely may never have existed. Then, on the first Sunday in November, Teely suddenly invited Brian and Elle to a slap-up lunch in our part of the flat, a thing she had never done before.
You might get that bottle open, darling. They'll be here in a minute. You know how punctual they are.
Oh, all right.
I really think being late for anything is one of their worst nightmares.
Oh, here we go.
Although, from what I've heard, being late is quite mild compared to what they've been dreaming about lately. I heard Elle screaming last night. Did you hear that?
This closet is soundproof, Teely.
Well, yes, I know. But it just so happened that I popped into their kitchen to borrow a drop of that cherry water they have. I'd forgotten to buy any again. And
you were spying. How could you do that?
Darling, calm down. Of course I wasn't spying. I just went out to get...
You just went out to snoop around and see what you could overhear.
There is no need to be nasty.
No. With you flapping your ears, poking your nose in where it isn't wanted, and generally being about as subtle as a gnome.
But
you think you're so clever, but you're not as clever as all that. Instead of spying, why don't you just ask us what you want to know? Yes, whatever you're doing to us is working. We're all having nightmares and flashbacks. They're getting worse every week. Satisfied now?
Me? You think I...
Oh, you must think I'm a real idiot. It's obvious. We're all in kelpie dirt except you.
Oh, yes. When anything goes wrong, blame Teely. Everything's always her.
Zlent. Well, go on, open it. This is your party. Go and play the good little hostess.
Fine, I will. And you can stop glaring at me. After all, they're your humans, not mine. Hi, Brian. Well, do come in. Hello, Bites. You're coming to lunch too, are you?
Hi, Teely.
Something smells lovely.
Hey, thank you. Come on in. Come on and make yourselves comfortable. Bart will give you some champagne. So, Lemmy said, may I present Most Honourable Lord Mormy? I looked to see who it was, and there was this incredibly small, slight elf with wispy blonde fur. In the most magnificent blue and gold dress uniform, he was wearing the white dodecahedron on his sleeve, and what do you think? He was carrying that ridiculous talking golf ball and mulligan on his shoulder. And before White Dwarf could say a word, it bobbed forward and it said, good evening, Miss Teely. Sure, it's lovely you're looking this evening. And it grinned all over its ugly little face. Everyone fell about laughing, and I didn't know where to look.
I didn't realise you'd met White Dwarf before, Teely. Let alone his pet golf ball.
Yes. I saw him a good while back. White Dwarf, was playing golf with it, Mulligan, and he got so wild with him that he ended up clubbing it into the lake.
What did he do? Give advice on how to swing when it wasn't wanted?
Oh, that and then some. The nasty little beast he was, really.
That was delicious, Teely. Thank you.
Yes, you're a wonderful cook.
Oh, it was nothing, really.
5 minutes and a few spells. Wonderful.
Darling, would you like to go and bring in the dessert?
Of course. Hello, horror. Yes, you were a good monster while we were eating, but it's not time for yours yet. What's that you've got? No, I'm not playing with...
Bites? Put that down and come here.
No, I can't play with your cuddly dog now. No, we're not going to have a tug of war.
Put that down, I say.
Not Bites' cuddly dog.
Cuddly dog? Oh, stars. Oh, stars. Oh, stars. Now I remember.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
They told me it said clean up. Oh, Bert, don't do things like that.
Look, Bert, your best friend. We brought him to be with you.
Patient's condition is critical. Patient's condition is critical. Patient's condition is critical. Patient's condition is critical. Patient's condition is critical.
Well, what are you all staring at me like that for?
You're going to inject a dose of something. You didn't know what. Into me. Bert took it instead and nearly died of it.
Would have died of it if I hadn't intervened.
You were arrested. I remember you being brought to visit me every day. How could you intervene?
It's my guess that Elfhold wanted her to. If I'm right, practically everything that's happened this year has happened because Elfhold wanted it to. Isn't that so, Teely?
How do you mean, Brian?
Bert, this isn't going to be easy for you to hear, but... I think you've been well and truly manipulated. You too, in some ways, El.
Go on.
Well, think about it. When they came back at Christmas, everything was fine. Teely was talking about us four being a family. Only a couple of weeks later, Bert's threatening to walk out of his job because of the intercom. I think that's what Teely really wants. Has wanted for a long time, to get Bert away from here. But Elfhold weren't having it. I don't understand the next bit, why a part of this year seemed to happen twice. But in the end, Teely had her heart-to-heart with you, Bert did another about-face, and he stayed on. So Teely, and through her, Elfhold, still have us under their eye.
Clever Brian. Full marks. But before you cast me as the villain, you might remember that if it weren't for me, your precious Bart would be dead at this moment.
If it weren't for you trying to put us in danger,
Bert would never have taken that dose in the first place.
I had no choice. We did absolutely everything we could to make this work.
How could you do this to us? And more importantly,
okay, that's enough. Everyone, listen. Brian, Elle, I know you're upset, but I'd like you to do something for me and not ask questions. I'd like you to take bites and leave.
What? Oh, but sweetie, she'll only talk you round.
Not this time, Elle. Now, please, go on, both of you. My wife has quite a lot of explaining to do.
And that's when I saw White 12. It was surreal, really. There we were, discussing your life and death with interruptions from this mad Irish talking golf ball.
I'm not interested in the ball, Teely. What did White 12 want with you?
He told me that your lot, the Leps, were stirring things because you'd been injured. He said that when you died, yes, when, not if, the Leps might stir up the other Seelie races and cause real trouble between species. So this whole incident had to just go away. You know, disappear. As if it had never happened.
And I'm sure there's a spell for that.
Yes, there is. And a very hard one, too. It took me a week of 14-hour days to learn it, and I was lead lucky to get it right. And then I stopped the whole thing from happening again.
By telling me a pack of lies? Yes, you did.
Oh, never mind that. Everything was all right, wasn't it? I made things all right. You got to keep your job. Stay with your precious humans.
Yes, I did. Oh, stars, I am such an idiot.
What? What did I say? Why are you looking at me like that?
You made things all right. Just like after Christmas, you made things all wrong. I wanted to get out. I couldn't wait to leave and get your way. You've been using magic on me, haven't you?
No, of course I...
Haven't you? The truth.
Well, not what you call magic. You tell me yourself. It's in the lep coat. Wives may not use the helping hand against their husbands. Doesn't say anything about a little auto-suggestion, though. And much good it did me with Elfhold interfering and messing up my plans.
You're unbelievable. Just unbelievable.
Well, why all the drama? You know everything now. I won't try to take you away again. Elfhold says I can't. They want me to stay here so I can report back to them.
Then they're going to be very disappointed.
Meaning?
Think about it. Your clever little brain will soon work it out.
You want me to leave?
Clever Teely. Full marks.
I suppose a promise of complete truthfulness and good behaviour for the future would get me nowhere.
Now where have I heard that before?
Please, but...
Stop. How can I ever trust you again? How can I ever trust what I think or feel if you're anywhere near me? You've treated me like a puppet. We can't go on after that.
I see. Well, if that's how you want it...
It's how you made it, Teely. Now, before you start packing, you might do one last thing for me, for old time's sake, and put this closet back to how it used to be. I'm going to need my comfortable old things around me after today.
I don't know why I should, but... for old time's sake. Oh, very well.
Is that everything?
Yes. I've sent my bigger pieces of furniture on to Elfhold. You won't be bothered again.
Thank you. Please understand, Teely. There's no turning back now. No texts, no emails, no spying on me.
As I said, but if that's the way you want it...
The way I want it? Teely, I would have done anything I could for you. But now, go on. You need to leave. I'll get this marriage dissolved, and then we're out of each other's lives forever.
If you say so, Bart. If you say so.
Sunday afternoon is my quiet time. When things get hectic at the Bureau, it's not unusual for me to work a six-day week. And when it gets super hectic, I can even go in and work on a Sunday morning. But one routine is always sacrosanct. I have Sunday lunch at my club, then I go home, tell the house to
hold all calls and visitors on pain of reprogramming. Take off the rusticator and tell the world to go and hang for the rest of the day. I'd been to work that particular Sunday morning. There was a family in Lancashire that was proving very tricky, but worthy of further study. And I wanted to arrange the watch rota for the following week personally. I'd also noted a report from 23716, which hadn't pleased me. Things seemed to be unravelling fast there. What with one thing and another, I was glad to reach the club, enjoy an excellent lunch, and then make my way home. I was pleasurably puzzling over a clue in the crossword when I heard a sound I should never, ever hear on a Sunday. My door alert. I tried to ignore it, but it kept on chiming. Was the house malfunctioning or what? Go away! Stop that! Desist instantly, I say! House!
Yes, sir.
Shut off that offensive noise before I introduce your system to a friendly little virus I know. Do it now, let it...
I cannot, sir. She is using emergency override.
She? Oh, blood and bronze, iron, mercury, gold, and active uranium! All right, I hear you! Who is that? And what do you mean by coming here? And raising merry mercury on my afternoon off? You pedal-pated, feather-headed, doodle-brained, bubble-eared...
I have to talk to you.
Well, I don't have to listen on my one day off. Make an appointment and come and see me in the office.
Please. I need to see you now. He's remembered. They've all remembered.
Oh, Bronze. That's torn it. Well, and what of it?
He's thrown me out.
House, let her in. Even a bit about you running around, Elfhold, with the one who gave you that lethal dose in the first place. Does he know about that?
Oh, that's right. Make me feel better. No, thank God. He hasn't found out about that.
As you say, thank God for small favours. You look a wreck, girl. I suppose you could do with a drink. I know I could. A brandy?
No, thanks. A bottle of fruit juice, if you have it. Or just some cool water.
What? Off the sauce again? That's not what I've been hearing. House?
Yes, sir.
Send in a jug of juice.
At once, sir.
Yes, they say you're the life and soul these days. Positively bathing in champagne. Seen all the best parties. Got Garvey wrapped round your little finger. How could you do it, Teely? How could you make yourself so cheap?
Oh, on the contrary. I made myself very expensive.
It's not funny.
Oh, you do have bottled fruit juice. Nothing but the best for you.
That'll do. Off you go. Here.
Very kind of you. Thanks.
He's one of the best, you know, that Lep.
Oh, please. Not that again.
I have a theory about you, 23716. You're like one of those animals the humans have. You know, the ones that jump over fences.
Horses. Oh, thank you very much.
No, I'm serious. It's like you can't just gallop along on the flat. It'll be far too boring. You have to jump a fence just to see if it can be jumped. Then another and another, higher and higher and higher, until, oops, You jump one too many, at which point you come crashing down.
Very interesting. Oh, I've certainly come crashing down now. Can I have some more juice?
No, help yourself. So what did he say then, the lep, when he threw you out? Is there any chance he'll have you back if I put in a word?
Absolutely not. Oh, you know, Bart, when things are at the very worst, he doesn't shout or get angry. He just goes quiet. He didn't say very much. He just made me put the closet back how it was before we extended it.
Oh, bronze.
And he just said he'd get the marriage dissolved. There would be no texts, no emails. No spying on him. We were out of each other's lives forever. Then he just turned away. Didn't even say goodbye.
Oh, Teely. What are we going to do with you?
Trouble is, it isn't quite as easy as that.
What's not as easy? I can't do riddles on Sunday afternoons.
There's a reason I'm only drinking bottle fruit juice.
Oh, my.
I've been trying to find the right moment to tell him. But with things being so difficult, and the nightmares and stuff, I just couldn't.
Dealey, you don't mean it. There's a mistake. Please tell me you're not...
I am. I'm in the first stage of repro. Or, as the Leps more crudely put it, I'm podding. In other words, I'm going to have a youngling.
You've been listening to Bert's Place, featuring Brian Hartchen as Bert and Lulu Hartchen as Teely, with Michelle Livingston as Lily Bella, Jack Scrimshaw as Bilby, and Rob DeZonia as Garvey. The music was composed by Andre Louis. Bert's Place is written by Lulu Hartchen and produced by Brian Hartchen. For archives, background material and original artwork, please visit www.birdsplace.co.uk.